Hey, Cam, mind sending me over our new Wi-Fi password?
Oh, sorry, Mitch, you can't be trusted.
What?
It's your phone. It's different than mine.
Cam! And I thought I was a judgy one.
No, it's just messages between different devices aren't encrypted.
Okay. Since when do you know about encryption?
I know what encryption is, and it's because I'm the last line of defense against any would-be Wi-Fi thieves.
Cam, come on.
Okay, fine. I'll send it somewhere more private.
Thank you.
Safely send messages between different devices. On WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey, everyone. This is Julia Barbaro, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Yes. First time, baby. That's great.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
We podcasted this gentleman a few weeks back. And let me set the stage before I introduce him. It was a Tuesday before Thanksgiving in a crappy hotel in Flagstaff, Arizona. And he was about to go speak to 200 homeless people. And it was a book that he was promoting, the Aspire book. And what really caught my attention was he must have a saint as a wife. He's on the road. He's left her for Thanksgiving holidays. And I said, Frank, you must have an amazing relationship. And he said, yeah, I've been married 31 years. I know a little bit about relationships. I said, that makes you an expert. He goes, no, I'm not an expert. I said, yes, you are an expert. And you're getting on the Multifamily Zone podcast. Frank and Nilsa, they've been married for over 31 years. And their lives are a testament to the power of aspiration to create a completely new reality. He just concluded a 7,000-mile, 120-hours driving, 27 events in 24 cities, 23 days, his book tour for Aspire. Welcome back to the show, Frank the Jabroni McKinney. How are we doing, brother?
Jabroni. I used two things from our interview with you and Jake. One was that word jabroni, and the other one was, and that's kind of a funny thing, but the other one was that I kept saying I'm not a relationship expert. When you told me I was, I got to think, I have not said that since. Like, I am now a relationship expert because of the 31 years I've been married, and I write about it in great detail in my book, so I better be an expert.
So, Frank, our perception of who we are changes what we do. Your perception was changed on that podcast very simply by one jabroni telling you that you were, but you should have already known that intuitively. What was holding you back from not realizing or not coming to that conclusion?
Humility. You know, I just felt like, who am I to say I'm a relationship expert when I've screwed up mine with my wife a number of times. Of course, we know that behind closed doors, how you can mess those things up. But as I step back and I realize that in that section of Aspire, where the title of that section, five chapters, is Love Life and Your Love Life. And I got chapters in their title, like the significance of a significant other, how relationship pressure creates the diamond or crushes the union, how to marry your guardian angel, and so on. That, yeah, you kind of opened my eyes to the fact that I should no longer say that I'm not a relationship expert, mm-hmm. that I am a relationship expert.
Well, before my wife starts jumping into, and I promise no business, this is all going to be about relationships. For anybody out there, how did you find your wife? How did you know she was the one? And how did you... You know, for 31 years, it's a testament going, because you are a busy person. You must drive her nuts. You have an idea every other 10 minutes. How did you know she was the one 31 years ago?
You know, the chapter, How to Marry Your Guardian Angel. When I met her in this office building, she's an interior designer. So she was doing mansions. I was doing crack houses back then. She was doing yachts. She was doing planes, way out of my league. And she comes into this office building looking like she was out of my league. I was a tennis pro at the time, just coming off the tennis court to be a real estate investor. So I was still basically part-time tennis pro, part less full-time real estate guy. I saw this woman. I thought, you know, I'm going to give it a go. I got nothing to lose, you know. And after a number of rejections, which we'll get into in a second, she finally said yes to our first date. I still have the receipt. August 5th, 1987, when I took her out on my first date.
August 30th, 1990. Is that the day you got married?
August 3rd, 1990. We got married. We dated for the first time on August 5th, 1987.
Yeah. So I made a slip. I got married August 30th. It says August 3rd on my notes.
I got confused for a second. Yeah. So I don't know what that means.
That's crazy. So go ahead, babe.
No, I you said something before that you messed up so many times that you didn't feel like an expert. But isn't that how we become experts in something, is that we mess up over and over again, we figure it out, we get up and we try again and we do more to strengthen the relationship, because anything we're doing to learn something, we do have to mess up. And I've never really met a couple that I can think of that haven't had difficult moments. It's those people that had difficult moments in their relationship. It's like, okay, well, now what are we going to do about it? So take us back to all those hard times in your marriage and what you both did, because I want to hear your wife's side of it as well.
Well, I mean, being married to me is like being inside a blender on a rocket ship, you know, going 100,000 miles an hour. And then the cosmos, you know, kind of shifts off gravity, turns off gravity, and it shoots this thing out into the universe. So, you know, she's a calming influence. She's very patient with me. I'm very mercurial. She's very even keeled. So, you know, as the book states, I'm not going to get too far into it, but I was arrested and jailed as a habitual traffic offender for just not paying traffic tickets, no DUIs or anything. I just collected speeding tickets on my fast motorcycles. And when we were first dating, I was put in jail for a weekend because I just, you know, my speeding tickets caught up with me. And the day I knew I was going to marry her, because listen, I'm a tennis pro in South Florida. I had no desire to be married. I was living a really great life, making $100,000 as a tennis pro. I was teaching a lot of women how to play tennis. And here I was in this Palm Beach County jail for the weekend in my early 20s. And she came to visit me. Yet when they called my name out, there was another Frank McKinney in this county jail. And he was a 300-pound black man. And so here comes this black man down to see her, and she just starts bawling her eyes out. Like, what happened to my Frank? This guy's super excited. He sees this young, beautiful woman. But I knew in that moment, like, she should have blown me off back then. Like, here's this wannabe real estate investor, tennis bum, playboy, irresponsible, getting traffic tickets. She could have just blown it off. I wish she was here to tell you why she didn't. But you know, her seeing through kind of the superficial troublemaking side and knowing what my, you know, I guess she knew my heart before I knew my heart. That's why we're still together. Julia, when she saved me from myself, if that's even possible, you know, like, you know, God can't stop free will. Well, neither can anybody on earth, but she seemed to be able to do that. And I just knew right then and there that I had to pay attention to this angel that was sent to love me and care for me and marry me.
I have that, Frank. This is a big deal. You said something I wish she was here to answer. Have you ever asked her?
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because other people have asked her and I've listened to her answer. Okay. And her answer basically is, you know, she, even on that first date, when we were sitting there feeding the fish with our leftover French fries, and she, I guess it was second nature to me at that age to go back into the kitchen and talk to the short order cook and give him a $5 bill and to make sure I knew the waiter's name and ask a little bit about the story of the waiter. Like, that's something that's been inherent to me from a very early age. I still do it to this day. And that was unusual for her. You know, she, most guys in South Florida weren't doing that. And I, listen, this was in the 80s. I had huge 1980s hair. I had a backseat full of I had a Mercedes 450 SL, which was a little convertible. I had the back seat that was full of speakers blasting Van Halen or Motley Crue or something, with the Yoko Ono sunglasses, totally different from what she, I guess, had been dating before. And yet she saw something real special in my heart. And that has carried the day for 31 years. I'll say, I don't know how many days it is. It's a lot of years, 10,000 days.
So Frank, do you think, and this is just from my observation with me and my wife, that when you meet somebody like that, you don't want to let them down. Is that why you've been so productive and so creative and you had these aspirations and you want to be part of her life? Because for me and my wife, I want to give her everything I possibly can, because I'm really lucky that I'm married to her. She lets me do what I want to do, and I want to produce, and I want to make her proud of me. That's what it seems like. It comes out in the book that you're really producing. It's not only just for you, but it's for your significant other as well.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting. We have our own bank accounts. We have our own independence. I think it's one of the reasons that we've stayed successful as a married couple, but you know, we're not materialistic. So she's never asked for anything. Like, you know, that we live in a beautiful house, but the same house we've lived in for 25 years. She's not one of those, you know, kind of South Florida women that is materialistic. So that makes you want to do nice things for her. You know, I have to force it on her sometimes, you know. And then when we had our daughter, that became obviously the focus of our lives, showing my daughter how a man should behave with his wife, because eventually she's going to be there, was very important to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so to give Nilsa, I don't think she wanted a balanced life, because I don't think as human beings we're meant to stay in balance. We're meant to actually swing back and forth like a pendulum out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very exciting life to be married to me, but at the same time, there's been stability. Mm-hmm. You know, we like same school for my daughter, same house, same church. And that for a woman wants roots, and she doesn't want a guy who isn't able to provide roots that run real deep. No matter how endeavors I get involved with, she still knows she has roots in my heart. She has roots in the ground where we live, in the community. And that's super important to a woman.
I should have rephrased that also. I didn't mean to say just materialistic, but also the fact that with you have growth and you have contribution. You guys are doing so many amazing things. The Caring House Project, you're building amazing homes, you're giving, you're charitable, you're growing businesses. It's exciting. And that is when you have a partner to share that with. Isn't that everything in the world? Like to be able to come home and say, hey, you know, we just created so much impact for others, but we're doing it together as a team.
Absolutely, Gino. And I'll tell you that when we hung up that first time with you and Jake and thinking about relationship expert, you and I, and this is kind of probably the most, you know, healthy, egotistical I'll get. You and I have what other men want. You and I, no matter how exciting it may seem to be out there on the dating scene and dating a bunch of beautiful women, we have exactly what other men want. And our relationship, your and Julia's and mine and Nilsa's, is what people strive for. And both of us have had it for a long, long time. So that example that we're able to set through the institution of marriage, we take that pretty seriously. You know, it's not a commitment, it's a covenant. And that covenant that we have had for all these years, and being a Christian and knowing that, you know, when two are joined, no man can separate. We take that very seriously, even though I've done a lot of things to take out the crowbar and try to separate it because I'm an idiot. You know, I always fall back on where I just think I'd be in a trailer park married to the bearded lady of the circus, smelling like motor oil and chewing tobacco if I hadn't met her. And that's a guardian angel.
I probably would be that's stuck awesome. In a kitchen having three restaurants. I'd probably be in a better position financially, but I would have I would have probably lost my soul going into materialistic, not worried about impacting others, not having six children and a completely different lifestyle, completely void of any purpose. That was my saving grace. That's what I think relationships allow you to do. They allow you to make those mistakes and allow you to say, hey, let's do this together. We do everything together. Now we have podcasts. We've raised the kids together. We've done our business together. And it seems that's how it should be. There is no balance in life. I want my business to be part of my family. And the people might think that's crazy, but I love when it blends over. The kids come to our events. We wrote a kids book for the kids. I mean, how the cannolis exploded. Now what? Because I think it's important to have that blend, and that's how we've done it. And I think families that work together, they stay together. That's just my opinion on the matter as an entrepreneur.
One of the things my husband, when he got off the podcast with you, Frank, last time, he's like, you'll love this guy. He's just like me. He's all over the place. And he was getting all excited. And I said, I'd love to meet his wife. That's what my first initial thought was. But one of the things that I do love about my husband, and this is out for everyone listening, it's what do you love? And that's really something. What do you love about your spouse? Because there's something about them. Sometimes we fight it. You know, I could complain all the time. My husband's working. He's always finding these new things to do and blah, blah, blah. But I knew that about him from the beginning. The first time I met him, I knew that about him. So instead of trying to fight it, embrace it, love it. Even sometimes it can be irritating. The things that the two of you do probably drives your wife crazy, drives me crazy sometimes. But instead of being irritated by it, we got to embrace it and love it and find it at times adorable. I find you adorable sometimes when you're all over the place and work with it. I know he's like that. I could either complain and sit home and nag and all that, or I can be like, that's awesome. Yeah, sure. Let's go do it. You want to move? All right, we'll move. Let's whatever you want. And that's where it comes in, where you can find that happiness together. When we don't stress about all the dumb little things that come up, but we just are on this adventure in life together. Like you said, it's marriage is incredible if you want it to be. You have to decide. It's up to you. If you want a successful marriage, you got to put the work in. You got to put the effort in.
Yeah.
Frank, what do you think?
Well, you know, marriage is hard. Life's hard.
Yeah.
Life work. You could be married to a Martian or an alien or an ape. It's still going to be hard. It doesn't matter. So I wouldn't want the alternative. Mm-hmm. I, you know, the alternative is not to be married and to be single. Mm-hmm. Still, I mean, imagine that, you know, if we're, you know, I'm older than you and having gone through life single, there's no way in the world I would have accomplished what I did if I were a single man And I doubt I would have accomplished, I mean, I could have been married to somebody else, but I just, when God puts that guardian angel in your life and that special significant other, you're going to love on every cell in their body, good or bad. You know, my wife, I pinch myself thinking about the fact that she decided to not only marry me, but stay with me. You know, I'm sure you feel the same way. Like, I think she...
Don't let anybody know.
You know, that I got a better end of the bargain. At least I see it. That's not an indictment on my own self-esteem. It's just, I think that she is just, I glow when I think about what she's done for my life. And now that we're, you know, we're empty nesters, right? We are empty nesters and we're closer to the end of my career. I'm done with my real estate career. And just having that time to look forward to being together that we didn't have a lot. Like, I can't imagine with six kids, how you guys find that time, the intimate time, just the, you know, the pillow talk time, the sit around the campfire time. Mm-hmm. That's something that we cherish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's different. I'm going to be honest with a bunch of kids. It's different. And we know we have kids. They're always around. We even homeschool the kids. So they're really always around, but we work with it. And that's what I'm like, what life gives you, what God gives you, you say, okay, what am I going to do with this? And again, we could complain. We could complain about it, or we can work with it and we could love it and we could fall in love with the lifestyle that we have, which I love. It's a simple life and I love simplicity. And that's why I love my husband, because I feel like sometimes he tries to take it to the next level with the cars and the stuff. I'm like, yeah, I like my minivan. You know, I just do.
After 20 years, the minivan's got a little played out, Frank. You know what I'm saying? Just like, it's time to upgrade it. But you know what? She wants the Kia minivan. I get the Kia minivan. What do you want me to say? So expert, I think you are an expert. I love everything you've said. Some tips on staying married, some tips on what us as men should do. Maybe you can't look at it from your wife's perspective, but what can we do as men to keep our wives happy, keep them fulfilled, and really serve them? Because we're here to serve them as well. You know, my wife says, oh, well, she inspires me to get up to go to work every day and to work harder and to do better and to provide. She's been financially free since August 30th, 1998. That was my goal. She's not worried about money from day one. She's got a family to raise. That's what she aspired to do. When I was reading your book, I'm like, aspire. You can aspire to do anything. My wife aspired to be a stay-at-home mom and to raise a great family and to do that. Mine was to provide. So some tips on being an expert.
The single best tip I could give in relationships, married or dating or otherwise, is invite conflict with respect. Most couples avoid conflict at all costs. And what I realized, and there's a whole chapter in my book that I talk about, relationship pressure creates diamonds. If you're going to have the conflict, so we invite the conflict with the expectation that in the end, it's the diamond that's going to be the result. If you're in denial about the fact that you're going to have conflict, and again, I said Martian, alien, or ape, you're going to have a conflict no matter who you're with. We realize, because we're so well suited for each other, that I want to create the diamond, be it the diamond in the real estate project, be it the diamond with the book, be it the diamond that we're doing over in Haiti. We're going to conflict about opinions on how to run those things, because she runs the Caring House Project Foundation with me. She's the interior designer for all my projects. She's the one who said, yes, go on the 7,000-mile book tour and be gone for Thanksgiving. There's going to be conflict. We say in the end, because 9 times out of 10, that conflict is going to create the diamond. In the end, beautiful houses, a charity that's provided 13,000 kids with a self-sustaining existence, and a book that's, you know, on the bestseller charts now, because of her willingness to invite conflict with respect. Because if you don't have the respect inside that conflict, it's the forces that are at work underneath the crust of the earth that creates the diamond. Or more often than not, if you look at the minerals, you look at the things underneath the crust of the earth that are crushed, almost everything's crushed underneath that pressure, except for the diamond. That's the singular greatest piece of advice I could give to couples, wannabe couples, married couples, dating couples.
Wow. Just let that sink in, everybody. And it's important. The last word that he says, invite conflict with respect. You respect the other person's opinion, but you go out and you duke it out and you let it all on the table, but you respect the other side and you come to a resolution. Because if you're going to deny it, it's going to fester and it's going to fester and it's going to fester. And then one day you're going to explode and you're going to make a bad decision out of fear or out of anger. You don't want to do that. You don't want to make any decisions out of fear, out of anger. You want to make decisions that are clear-minded, that they have clarity to them.
Yeah, no, I Frank, that's excellent advice, because we do avoid that conflict. because we're afraid of what's going to come out of it. And that's when we connect with our spouse, we know, yes, it's going to be difficult and there's going to be some arguing, even with respect, there's going to be arguing, but when you know what you're going to come out of it. And then I think that's really important. You have trust with each other that you love each other, and whatever the issue is, you can work it through. And I think that's super important. I love that.
You know, and people watching this, if you're destined to be single and that's your goal, then life was meant to be shared. Mm-hmm. Even if you're a loner or you're an introvert, relationships, specifically romantic, are going to make or break your life, mm-hmm. Unequivocally. So I could be the most skilled, dynamic real estate designer, artist, what have you, and build these grand houses on the ocean. But if I don't have someone to share that with, I guarantee I'm not doing a second one or a third one. I'm going to try to find my high somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I find it at home. And I understand that even though I am somewhat of an introvert, believe it or not, like I work out of a treehouse, but at the end of the day, to be able to share these, like you do, I'm sure, Gino, and that you guys share these dreams and desires together. That's why God made man and woman. And I encourage you, if you've been in a relationship where you've been hurt, there's a whole chapter that talks about that. Don't give up. Mm-hmm. That person's, that guardian angel is out there for you to marry.
I got to ask you, Frank, how do you go about, maybe you can share this with the listeners. How do you go about sharing or working with your spouse and doing all of these different projects? Because people have that limiting belief of, I can't work with my spouse. I'm going to stay in my lane. She's going to stay in her lane. We don't really do that. I mean, we do the podcast together. She comes to the live events with me. She's writing children's books now with me. How do you do that with Nelson? Because you have a lot of different initiatives going on. You have the real estate, you have the charity, you're writing the books. How does that work in your relationship? You
know, it gets back to that and invite the conflict with respect. It is very dangerous to work with your spouse. I'm not going to deny that. So let's talk about our lanes. You reference the lane. So if I'm the big picture guy, I'm the, you know, the visionary, I'm going to put the financing together. I'm going to be the one that's going to do the marketing for these multi-million dollar real estate projects. In the end, those decisions, while I'll invite input from her, in the end, those lie with me. Mm-hmm. She's the interior designer. We'll have tons of conflict over that. But in the end, I always defer to her because that's her lane, her field of expertise. We just make sure that, you know, just like the rails on a railroad track, we make sure that those things are congruent, that they're running parallel to each other, because you know what happens when one rail goes off, the whole train wrecks. Mm-hmm. And so I know what I'm really good at, and she knows what I'm good at. I have a pretty small inner circle. I'm a benevolent dictator and an enlightened absolutist. Like, I kind of know what I want, but when it comes to her stepping into my lane, I want that input because I am open-minded enough to hear something to know when I'm going to change my mind. Yet she's respectful enough to know the decision in that lane lies solely, the final decision lies solely with me, just like I'm respectful enough to leave that decision on design solely with her.
I agree 100%. I love how you put it though. You put it better than I always did. I know, I agree. And I think that's where people get caught up, is they want to work together, but they both want to make the final decision. And then there's just, it's like you said, it's a train wreck. And it is, because it's smiling, because you know you always get the last say. Is that why you're smiling?
I just got my thought in my head, because I podcasted Frank last time. Yeah. And this is the man who says that he's got a certain way to fold toilet paper. And I can imagine he must drive his wife nuts. He's saying stay in his lane, but I'm sure he's inviting conflict with respect there, saying, no, Neil's a timeout. The toilet paper has to be this way.
That's what I'm talking about.
And the towels have to be that way.
She knows him. Like, I know you. I know what drives you crazy, and I avoid it or I bother you with it.
But how does she handle that though, Frank? I mean, because you must be that benevolent dictator.
It's simple. There's no, her blood pressure doesn't go up one point. Yeah. She just knows what I'm good at. And if it's about the paper being folded to a perfect diamond tip point, and it's all about the attention to detail, and she knows my strength is marketing, mm-hmm. branding, and that she doesn't want to have anything to do with that, to be honest with you. Like, mm-hmm. she to get her to come on a podcast in front of a camera, she doesn't like it. I mean, she would have been here, believe me. Mm-hmm. She would have, because she's interested in this topic. So, you know, she's cool with that. Just like when I say, honey, I want to put red velvet on the walls of the theater in this new house. And she's going to say, that is hideous. This is not a bordello. This is a theater. So put leather on the walls. Then I'm going to defer. I'll let her do that.
I love that.
And that's what I was trying to say to the listeners, is know your strengths, know your husband's strengths, and let them do it. let him do it and just leave it. Leave it alone, because we get all emotional. You didn't take my idea. I can't believe it was a great idea. And then we dwell on it. And then we, yes. And that's when trouble happens, when we work together. So
I think that holds more true for men. Like, men, you need to listen to what Julia's saying. We need to check our egos at the door. We need to check, like, dial down the testosterone. Sometimes you're wrong and your wife is right. And you need to just put your tail between your legs and move on. Instead of fighting for the sake of fighting. I see men doing that all the time, and it's actually very immature and sophomoric. You know, a secure man will know when he's wrong. He'll know when he say he's wrong. The five hardest words to say is, I'm wrong and I'm sorry. I'm wrong and I'm sorry. Say that when you know you're wrong, and say it right away. You'll gain the respect. Yeah. You'll keep your lane sacred, and you'll also respect your wife's.
Right. And sometimes there's not wrong, but it's just someone else has a better idea. And that is hard for you guys, I think, too. If I have a better idea that I have known nothing about, and I come in, I'm like, Gina, shouldn't you do this?
Why are you looking at me?
Because a lot of times that happens. They're like, I'm not doing it that way. Okay. And then 10 days later, all of a sudden it's happening. And he had this great idea. I'm like, hold on a second.
It's just like, it hurts sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I'm working my ass off. She walks in. Hey, but like, dude, really? I've been sitting here for an hour thinking about something. You come in here 30 seconds later. And it's like, damn, that's better than my shit, man. What happened?
Well, that's where sense of humor comes in. And I love sense of humor, because we can laugh it off. We can be like, you know, exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gino, I'm going to tell you right now, I can sense, even though I'm not in the room, the essence and the aura of your wife. You are very fortunate to have what you have. When she wants to render an opinion, I'm sure it's worthy. And I can just tell by the energy that's going on in that little box right there. You're very fortunate.
I never said I wasn't.
No,
her essence and her aura is glowing.
So hold on a second. How much are you Venmoing him? You Venmoing him? You're going to send him some money after the show?
I can see a good energy in a relationship, and one that's contrived, especially when it's contrived for a podcast. This is the real deal.
Well, we've been doing this for a while. I love working with her. And in the very beginning, I almost blew up the whole entire show on the first podcast we ever did. It was the second show we ever did, and I said something insulting to her, and I didn't mean to. It was something calling her lazy, and she could have shut it down completely and said, I'm not doing it ever again. But she's the one with really no ego, and she was afraid and scared. I said, let's try it. What's the worst thing that can happen? Let's get on. This is not about us. It's about helping other families. It's about having, you know, people who want to have children and work together and do all that. And she just let it out.
That's where it comes with sense of humor. You know what I mean? When someone says something to you in front of other people, it's like, yeah, I don't think so. We're not going to talk about that ever again. And I really, I was going to close it down. I'm like, a great idea. I'll see you later. And I did, I stopped it. But like I said, Frank, it was about, I want other people to thrive in their marriage. I want that. And it's so important to me that I thought, you know what? No big deal. Let's just put that aside and move forward. And I know he didn't mean it. And that's the thing. It's, you know, you have to look at your spouse and, like, you know, stupid mistakes. Yes, we say dumb things all the time, but we can hold on to them, and we could hold that against them all as long as we want, for our whole lives, if we want. We can just let it go, forgive, and truly move forward, truly get over things.
Well, if you guys, for those who are watching, is this a watching or a listening? So listening?
Yeah, both. Both. Yeah. Oh,
so watching and listening, and you are not in a relationship, or you're not married, and you may not even be in a relationship. Chapter number 19 in my book, Magneticism, which is all about how to attract the person into your life that you want. It's a play on words. Being magnetic and an ism is something that's, you know, it's a very special dynamic at work. That's something you need to read, because, you know, when I was young, but I think subconsciously I was I wanted to find someone like Nilsa, even though I didn't know she existed until she stepped into my inner circle. So it's possible for you to attract into your life that profile of the person that you know is best for you, not who you think is the hottest or has the most money or, you know, the most beautiful eyelashes or eyes or whatever, the one who's best for you to spend the rest of your life with. Mm-hmm. Because marriages nowadays they're so throwaway. I mean, people really think, and do you really want to water the grass on the other side or spend a little time watering the grass on your side? Mm-hmm. The grass isn't greener because you're not spending enough time watering on the side it should be watered on, especially if you're not in a relationship. So read that chapter 19 titled Magneticism and see if you can attract into your life the person you want.
Frank, last question. for the benevolent dictator who invites conflict with respect. I love that quote. Where do you see your relationship going now that you're an empty nester? Now that you say real estate is over, I know you're focusing on your charities and your other projects. Where do you see it continuing to flourish?
I'm ready to move out of Florida to a nice tiny little town in North Carolina called Canton, where we're building a house of the population about 4,000 people. And just, I mean, you go to my website, I literally light myself on fire. I did it for the release of my book. I did it for the launch of my book. One was on a jet ski, one was on a motorcycle. I'm ready to just take the flame retardant suit, put it on, and really get to know her. And actually, Gino, because it's always Frank's world, I want it to be, like, I'm encouraging Nilsa to do her own. Like, I guess there's a show on TV called The Red Table. Like a bunch of women that sit around. Have you heard about the show?
No.
Women sit around this, they're kind of celebrities and they talk about stuff. And then there was a knockoff, an orange table. I said, honey, why don't you do the acrylic table? Because it's transparent. It's vulnerable. It's authentic. You can see through it. And you're such that person. Like, I want to help her do something like that because she's helped me become who I am. And I kind of think almost at her own expense. Mm-hmm. And now it's time for it to be Gnosis world.
That's amazing. Gino?
Yeah.
Where can the listeners get a hold of the book, get a hold of you, your website, any contact details?
What I would encourage everybody to do is go to theaspirebook.com. Theaspirebook.com. There you can read a summary of the book. There you can read a chapter if you want to read a chapter of the book. You can listen to a sample chapter on Audible. You can read a bunch of reviews we've gotten. You can even see videos of the book. So go to theaspirebook.com. And then while you're there, if you do pick up a copy, I mentioned this when you were with Jake, every copy sold provides 200 meals in one of our orphanages in Haiti. So we've cared for 13,000 children that were eating mud flavored with bouillon and lemon juice that now have a self-sustaining existence. Guys, I don't make any money from my books. I made a lot of money in real estate. Every book I sell provides 200 meals in our orphanage in Haiti. So go to theaspirebook.com or just go to Amazon if you want. Well, at theaspirebook.com, you can get it on Amazon or you can get an autographed copy from us, Audible, Kindle, you name it. That's what I would suggest people do.
For all the listeners out there, we've really just scratched the surface on Frank's life. If you go back to the Jake and Gino show, you'll hear a little bit more. He's run. What's the race that you run? The Badwater. He's run it 12 times. He's built these amazing spec homes. He's taken risks. He's written seven books in six different genres. He's done some amazing things. And I think ultimately, I'm glad that he's on the Multifamily Zone podcast because it is all about having impact, but having impact with somebody that you can share it with throughout your entire life, enjoying that process, enjoying that journey, growing with somebody else, knowing that you're fallible, knowing that you're going to make mistakes, knowing that you're going to have conflict, but trying to get better. And those words of "I'm sorry" really resonate. We're all going to make mistakes. We're sorry about it. But what really impacted me when I talked to Frank last time was it's the week before Thanksgiving and he's on a trek. Most wives would be yelling at their husbands and saying, "Why aren't you home? You should be home with the kids and all." And meanwhile, his wife allowed him and actually championed him to go.
Yeah, she encouraged
him. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's to me was like, what an amazing spouse he must have. To be able to live his dream, to cooperate with her dream and work together and to impact and to help others. That was really powerful to me.
If you're in the wrong relationship, if you have to ask permission for anything, you ask for collaboration, never asking for, I would never ask, honey, is it okay if I go on this book tour? No, I'm collaborating with her. I'm planning the whole tour, planning all the tour stops, planning the message. And if at any point that collaboration results in an opinion where this isn't probably the best thing to do, then I'm going to listen. But asking for permission is not, you're in the wrong relationship if you got to ask.
I like that a lot. I hope everyone listened to that. I hope everyone heard that.
Final words, baby?
No, I just thank Frank. I just want to thank you. I didn't know what to expect. I heard a lot of crazy things about you.
Good crazy things.
Amazing crazy things. Yes. I'm excited to finish this book because I didn't expect what I was reading. And all of you out there, please go to Frank's website, get the book. Follow up on what he's doing in his life because it's amazing. I just want to really thank you for that.
Hey, here's what I'd like, Julie. Here's what I'd like you to do. So you haven't gotten to the fourth section that talks about relationships, right? So read chapter 20 on your own. Actually, why don't you read the title of the chapter 20 out loud for our listeners and viewers? Just the chapter title.
Oh, and give mind-blowing sex.
Yes. So I want you to read that on your own. I want you to come back maybe at the next podcast with your next guest, how intimacy and the role intimacy plays in a long-standing relationship. Because, you know, after the honeymoon's over, the pink cloud phase, whatever they call it, after 6 months, mm-hmm. intimacy, and how giving sex is less selfish than having sex. Having mm-hmm. sex can be a bit selfish. I know it's a tangent, but it's something we didn't even touch on. It's a really important part. So go to chapter, go to the fourth section and read
so
those.
So I'm only reading chapter 20. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. I want you to read chapter 20 and then relate that to your next guest.
That'll be fun, actually.
Frank.
Awesome.
Set me up tonight, baby. I love it.
That was for you, Gino.
I'm Venmoing you now, bro. She was saying, I'm going to send some money over to you. That's all I'm saying.
I know you, with six kids, I know you got a lot of practice. So keep it up.
We want to thank you for being on again, Frank. This has been awesome. This is what life's all about. It's all about creating impact, about mm-hmm. creating relationships, and about changing people's lives and about helping people out. So please go out and pick up the book Aspire. Once again, thanks, Frank McKinney. You take care.
Bye. Right?
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye, Julia.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.